Bill Belichick is here. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Mike. How you doing, Coach? Andy, Steve, how's it going?
Bill. Quite a combination. Mercedes-Benz and Drake's Cakes are your sponsors, Bill. It's interesting ends of the spectrum.
Two of my favorite things.
Oh, yes, Drake's Cakes. So, Bill, do you have, before we get to the game yesterday and a big win for the Patriots, any updates on the condition of Jerod Mayo and Stephen Ridley?
I think they're undergoing some tests this afternoon, and we'll, just follow up on it. Unfortunately, I don't think it looks too good, but we'll see what we get back.
And that looks too good for both of them, and probably in the same category of if it's...
Well, again, we'll wait till we get more specific information, but I don't think it's minor, let's put it that way.
Bill, it's obviously not a good thing to be playing without Jerod Mayo for the second year in a row, but what did Dante Hightower and the rest of your defense learn a year ago that maybe is experience that can benefit them through what they're going to go through now?
I'm sure every player gains from being in there and from gaining experience and playing time and all that, but it's still very bittersweet to lose a player of Jerod's magnitude and what he means to the team and how much he embraces the team and how much the team embraces him. Nobody works harder. Nobody's more unselfish and more dependable than he is. And we hope it's not too serious.
Those guys seem to be really, some of his teammates were really shaken up about it yesterday, said they played the second half for him. Guys after the game talked about just everything, what you were saying about Jerod Mayo. Great guy on the field, great guy off the field. I've heard many legendary stories about his film study. Can you give us any examples of, why his teammates kind of say these glowing things about him? Just give us an example of what his work ethic is like or some things that he picks up that maybe other players don't.
Well, Jerod just works extremely hard to do his job well so that everybody can depend on him, and he's very unselfish. He does it for the team. Whatever will help the team, he'll do, even if it's a sacrifice he has to make. So he's really, when you think of a team player, and I think of his picture next to those words.
Coach, your offensive line seems to have improved over the last few weeks, especially against some good competition. Is this improvement physical or mental, or is a little bit of both?
I'd like to think that each week we practice and prepare and watch film and correct mistakes and all that, we are pointed in the right direction. We're better in some areas. We still have a long way to go. We obviously didn't run the ball very well yesterday. I think that was a combination of things. It was their defense, and some of the plays that we had didn't fit particularly well in those situations, and we could have blocked them better and run them better and all that. But in previous weeks we've had some big games running and not as big passing, and so hopefully we can put it together this week and have great production in both areas.
Bill, you were obviously coming off a very emotional home victory, and I know you talked about having to go to Buffalo, match the intensity that you expected the Bills to bring. Seemed like your team did that. Have you learned something about your team the last week or so in terms of that motivation and preparation and professionalism, that sort of that accountability week to week?
I think you learn something about your team every week. We all do. One more week that we're together and we experience things together and go through different situations, different challenges. You just keep learning. So it's a long season. We still got a long way to go, but it was very gratifying to see us respond in that, as you said, very emotional and highly energetic environment in Buffalo before the game and during the game. I mean, it was a 7-7 game with a minute and 40 seconds to go in the first half, and then we got those two field goals, and it was 13-7, and then we took that first possession and overcame a couple long yardage situations and scored to make it 20-7. So the game kind of took a twist there right around halftime in a hurry. But even at the end, we're still grinding it out there in the fourth quarter. We had that last drive that was, again, another one where we overcame some long yardage situations, hit the big play to LaFell, and we're finally able to stop them and run out the clock. So it was a hard-fought game against a good football team that played with a lot of energy at home, and fortunately we were able to, for the most part, match it.
It did take a twist before halftime, and Stephen Gostkowski hit the field goal. It was 1 yard short of his career high. How much did you guys estimate he had yesterday? I mean, what was the?
Well, if we had to kick it from the would have been about a 59-yard field goal, so it would have been the 43, I want to say, 42.5, 43. If we had thrown an incomplete pass, or if we had less time on the clock, we would have tried it from there. And I'd say that would have, you know, been within his range. Would have obviously been a great kick if he would have made that, to be able to get the other 6 yards and make it a 53-yard field goal. Was you know, huge. I think it made it, you know, just more makeable. Could Steve have made it from another six? Might have.
Coach, if Steven Ridley's not available, is it as simple as a one-for-one switch with the next guy up, Vereen or whomever?
Well, we'll have to take a look at once we get the kind of get the game plan set, how we want to, you know, what formations, what personnel groupings, how we want to play these guys. We'll see how that goes. You know, I'm not sure exactly yet, Steve, to tell you the truth.
When you're playing a Thursday game, and I always felt that the biggest part of that preparation was that possibility of information overload from, you know, Monday through Wednesday. How do you look at what you're going to give these guys now getting ready for a Thursday night game?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Certainly we could spend a month getting ready for the Jets, given our history with them, all the things we've seen them do, the amount of volume they have in their schemes on offense, defense, and special teams. They do a lot of different things in all areas of the game. So if we go back and look at everything they've done against us, and we could be here forever. So you're right. We're absolutely going to go into the game and have to see some things that we haven't practiced, maybe some things that we haven't even talked about, and just, you know, use our rules, use our fundamentals, and hope that that gets us through. And then during the game, we're going to have to make some in-game adjustments, and I'm sure they feel the same way. So I think that information overload and where you end up with paralysis by analysis is something that you've got to avoid against. You got to try to find that balance between preparing but not getting so much information that you can't be aggressive, you can't play fast, and we don't want to do that. So we'll try to find that sweet spot. But I think that's very challenging because as a coach, you don't want to go into the game and feel like you haven't prepared your team well and you haven't, you know, shown them or talked to them about the things that might come up. But, again, if you bring up everything they've ever done, I mean, we'd be here forever.
Right.
So we're just going to have to pick the things that we think are most likely to occur or most frequent, and hope that our experience and our rules and that we just follow them, and that'll get us through the other situations that pop up. But it could be that way in any game. You know, team runs gives you a new look, a new play. You have to deal with it. You have to follow your rules and take care of your responsibilities and hope that you're sound to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Bill, whether it's Darrell Revis, Ty Law, Aqib Talib, or guys on other teams, we always just say, match him up. He's a good man corner, just match him up. But in general, sort of football 101 speak, what are the ramifications of that decision for the other six guys in coverage, zone, man, things they do? Just kind of, what else goes into that decision other than just, oh, have Revis chase Watkins?
Well, it's just there's a lot of multiple learning from, you know, everybody else could be in a lot of different positions too. So you could be inside, you could be outside, you could be on the left, you could be on the right. There could be three guys on your side, there could be two, there could be one, there could, you know, so you have to go through all the scenarios and all the formation possibilities that could occur based on where your guy is. So it's, yeah, it's easy to find one guy. It's everybody else having to adjust to that and communicate it and so forth. So, but you know, it simplifies it in some ways too. Especially if it's, if you're just playing straight man coverage, then you're just covering your guy, and wherever he goes, you go, and that's fairly easy. But it's, you can't be in straight man coverage every single play. So there's other things you got to deal with.
You know, some corners, I'm sure, you know, prefer man to anything else. Some guys more comfortable in his zone. Would you say that Darrell Revis is more comfortable with one style over the other?
Well, I think one of the issues of playing man on every play is just the amount of energy that it takes. I mean, you know, you have to run with the guy 30, 35 yards on a running play because he's just running you off, you know, and it's really a nothing play for the corner. It's an inside run or something, but you don't know that. You're in man coverage, and the guy runs a go route, and you got to chase him for 40 yards, and you know, ball's back there 40 yards behind you on the line of scrimmage. You don't know that. So to do that every single down, I mean, is it doable? Yeah. Is it taxing on your secondary to do that? I mean, it really is. So, you know, I think there's got to be a balance to that, and I would say there's probably not too many corners that would really want to do that for, you know, 65, 70 plays, would want to be covering pass routes on every single play, which is, if you're in man coverage and they know you're in man coverage, they're just going to run you off. So that's what you're dealing with.
We talked about it. Sorry, Steve. Just a follow up on Reeves. We were talking about, obviously, his coverage ability is way up there, but just some of the other things he does, being able to see him, you know, game to game, stands out. How would you say he is in run support and just
good.
Attacking in good. Strength?
Good playing strength, good run support, good against blockers. Instinctive in the running game, you know, knows where to fit, knows, you know, when to kind of be aggressive, when to play off for a little bit of time, give the pursuit a chance to get there. He's a good tackler. He's a wrap up tackler. He's not a, you know, guy who's, you know, diving at the shoelaces. He'll wrap up and put a shoulder on there, use his arms. I think he's good at run support. He's a good tackler.
Brady was able to complete passes to, what was it, 10 receivers, different receivers yesterday. Did you have an inkling of that going into the game, that a variety of receivers would come into play?
I don't think you ever really know that, Steve. In fact, to tell you the truth, you know, I don't think you ever really know how any game's going to go.
Right.
You know, it's games you think are going to be low scoring or high scoring or vice versa, or games you think you're going to run and you're going to throw or vice versa.
Right.
So, you know, in the passing game, you know, most of the time we send out multiple receivers. It's rarely just one guy screen, or maybe once a game we might have a one play, one route type of pattern, but not very often. Usually there are multiple guys out there, and you know, we call the play. We see the defense come out. We see what the look is. We have an idea of where Tom's going to be looking. Is he going to be looking to the strong side or the weak side, or maybe down the middle if it's a split safety coverage type of thing, and then, you know, go to one or two guys based on how that coverage pattern unfolds once the ball snaps. And that's really the way it is. So we call the play. We don't know where the ball's going, but once we see the coverage, then we know where he's looking, and then it's probably going to be one of two or one of three guys, you know, unless it ends up being a scramble play or something
right.
like that. But it's just kind of a normal timing play. And so, honestly, everybody's alive on the play, and all the receivers are alive. They don't know who's going to get the ball, so they all need to be running their routes hard, running them well, and getting open. And if the coverage unfolds a certain way, they're going to get the ball. If it doesn't, then it probably is going to go to somebody else, but there's no way to know that.
Is Gronk 100% back?
You'd have to ask him that.
Yeah.
He's sick of talking about it. He said, just for the record.
Right.
Bill, I know this is your job. It's serious business. You're not looking to get players their letters or anything, but a guy like Brian Timms, who has a pretty unique story, pretty tough life growing up, sort of a roundabout way to get here. Is there a little extra soft spot when you see a guy like that make good, get down the field, catch that touchdown, and say, good for him?
Well, I think you always like to see players who work hard and overcome adversity or overcome challenges, hurdles, whether it be in their life or with our team or in their own personal situation, whatever it is. Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's rewarding to see that. And you know, Brian worked very hard in preseason practices and games. Knew he wouldn't even have a chance to get on the field for 4 weeks, but you know, really, really worked very, very hard, and obviously made a lot of plays in the preseason games. We all saw that. But then he knew he was going to have to sit for a while. But he, you know, he stayed positive. He didn't get down on it. He continued to work hard. When he came back, he was in good shape, and you know, worked hard to get his timing back to where it was. I'm not saying it's all the way back there, but it's certainly getting there. He's gaining on it. And, you know, I think you run a play in practice several times, and you practice it, and you try to do it right, and then it comes up in the game, and you hit it. I mean, you should be happy. You should be ecstatic. It's hard to do in this league. And that was a great play. It was a great – we had really good protection. It was a great route by Edelman to take the safety in the corner down on the other side. It was a great route by Timms. It was a tremendous throw by Tom. It all came together. It worked perfectly, and there should be a lot of satisfaction on that. There was on the with the players, with the coaches, you know, with everybody that was a part of it. So, yeah, you love to see that happen, and you certainly love to see it for guys that, you know, have worked hard and overcome things, whatever they happen to be, to have that kind of success.
So you guys are real professionals. That's a perfect segue. Coach's Drive of the Week brought to you by the all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class, raising the bar yet again as the benchmark in luxury sports sedans. Visit MBUSA.com or your nearest dealer today. This week's drive was that one. It was 13-7 at the time, 43-yard pass to Timms, and it's 20-7. So I guess Tom Brady doesn't suck anymore. Nobody wants to trade him this week. Have you seen anything from just on that drive? When, you already talked about the specifics of it. There has been a lot of conversation about Brady in the last few weeks. Is there anything different from Tom Brady that you've seen this year than in years past? Is there anything he's doing better? Is there anything that he's doing worse than he's done in the past? Because this is a guy who's gotten a lot of attention in the first month of the season.
Yeah, well, I think everybody's is pretty much in the same boat there. It's, we're into October, and that's what training camp and preseason and all the games are for, is to keep working on the things that we need to work on. And football is a game where everything's interrelated. It's all about each individual doing their job, but the other 10 guys that are on the field with them, the timing, the execution, the communication, and all that. So, it's what we can do as a team. And, I think Tom's worked hard, as he always does. We have a lot of other guys that do that, too. Hopefully we'll have good results this week against the Jets, but we'll need to have another good week and another good week of preparation, another good week of execution on the game field for that to happen. And just because it happened last week or didn't happen last week, as was the case in Kansas City, I don't think that really has anything to do with this game. This game will be this game, and hopefully we'll be able to do against the Jets.
All right, that's the SBLI no-nonsense conversation with the coach, Bill. Thanks a lot.
All right, good to be with you. All right,
see you next week. This microphone put up a little less fight than the one last night.
Yeah. No.